Please be seated. A few weeks ago, when we were having to move around some furniture in the church office, I came across an old book of mine that was one of my favorites, and I actually took it home and read it again. It's a simple book. It's Tuesdays with Maury by Mitch Albom, and I'm sure a lot of you have already read it. But if not, let me tell you a little bit about it. It's the story of a man named Maury Schwartz. He was a retired college professor who was dying of ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. And Mitch had been one of Maury's students some 20 years earlier when he saw a feature on TV about ALS that had a segment in it about Maury. So he established contact, and they began a series of Tuesday get-togethers where Maury would share his wisdom and reflections on a life lived to the fullest. Each Tuesday, they'd tackle a different topic. The world, feeling sorry for yourself, regrets, death, family, money, emotions, and so on. And altogether, there were 14 of those Tuesdays with Maury. On the third Tuesday, Maury talked about regrets. And for the first time, Maury used the word death, and that made Mitch very uncomfortable. Mitch, he said, the culture doesn't encourage you to think about such things until you're ready to die. We are so wrapped up with egotistical things like career and family and having enough money, meeting the mortgage, getting a new car, fixing the radiator when it breaks. We're involved in trillions of tiny little acts just to keep going. So we don't get into the habit of standing back and looking at our lives and saying, is this all? Is this all I want? Is there something missing? Maury paused. You need someone to probe you in that direction, he said. It won't just happen automatically. And Mitch knew he was right. We do need teachers in our lives to point us, to prod us, and sometimes, yes, even push us and shove us into a direction. And then on the next Tuesday, Maury sort of continues his theme, and he talks a little bit more about death. Everyone knows they're going to die, he says, but nobody believes it. If we did, we'd do things differently. So we kid ourselves about death. But there is a better approach, and that is to know you're going to die and to be prepared for it at any minute. That way you would actually be more involved in your life while you're living. The truth is, Mitch, once you learn how to die, you learn how to live. For me, that's the gospel lesson for today, because it really is, I think, kind of the point that Matthew is trying to get across with this parable. One of my favorite t-shirts of all time, long since tattered and torn and lost, but on the front of it, it had in really big letters, Jesus is coming soon. And on the back, it says, look busy. We humans have always had a fascination and preoccupation with the coming of the Messiah. The ancient Jews looked for it with such an intensity that most missed it when it actually happened. And throughout history, there have been groups who believe they were able to pinpoint the precise moment of Christ's second coming. And of course, those dates passed and Christ hadn't returned. And now you have these first century Christians who Matthew is writing for, who lived a generation after Christ's death and believed Jesus would return to establish his kingdom in their lifetimes. This text this morning about the bridegroom, it's a continuation of a conversation about the temple being destroyed and the disciples asking when such a thing would happen and what would be the sign of Jesus' coming and the end of the age. And you're left to decide whether these are two separate questions or whether the destruction of the temple, which had already happened, was thought to be the beginning of the return of Christ. But Jesus hadn't returned yet. And those in Matthew's community were struggling with that. And so Matthew uses this parable about the bridegrooms to maybe recalculate for them Jesus' return, but just as importantly, to encourage those folks to be patient and watchful. And for those who first heard this gospel, it made perfect sense. Be prepared, be vigilant, for you never know when the bridegroom will come. I wonder, do you hear that text about the bridegroom? Do you hear that as a word of hope? Probably not. But why can't it be? You see, so many of us have been brought up, attuned to the idea that this parable is nothing more than a dire threat, because that's what some people want it to be. But consider if it's really supposed to be a word of hope. Don't worry when Jesus will return. Just be prepared and vigilant and wait. How do you do that? Well, you decide. You decide how to do that by who you are and how you choose to wait. Because what we choose to utter about the waiting, or how we choose to be in the waiting, matters. In fact, that waiting is the story of our lives. That's what I think Maury was trying to get across to Mitch that day. We do all need teachers in our lives, someone to probe us in the right direction. And if ours really is that carpenter from Nazareth, then I think what he's trying to tell us in this gospel text is, don't worry when I'll return, but know that I'm with you now. Don't be so preoccupied with the end that you miss today and this wonderful banquet we call life. Be vigilant, but don't miss the joy of now. Prepare yourselves, but not by standing and staring into the heavens and waiting, but by living life to its fullest, knowing that life means nothing without those around you. So make wise decisions, listen to the teacher, but hold fast to the joyous gift of just being. Rose-colored glasses on my part? Maybe. But I like rose-colored glasses. And for me, the message of this gospel is not just about God's judgment, as much as some try to make it to be. Instead, it's about the everyday judgments that you and I make in every human encounter through how we live our lives with each other. And whether this parable are actually words of Jesus or words that Matthew needed to hear, they are reminders not to miss out on life because of waiting for the one who promises to return. For me, that's a great message of hope. It's a proclamation that God will show up in our waiting. And it's a reminder to keep alert. To keep alert for what is to come. Keep alert for the ways in which God enters into our right now. And rejoice. Rejoice in those promises that God will show up. On the 13th Tuesday, Mitch asked Maury, "What if you had one day, 24 hours, perfectly healthy, what would you do?" "Well, let's see," Maury said. "I'd get up in the morning, do my exercises, have a lovely breakfast of sweet rolls and tea, go for a swim, then have my friends over for a really nice lunch. I'd have them come one or two at a time so we could talk about their families, their issues, talk about how much we mean to each other, and then I'd take a walk in a garden with some trees. I'd watch their colors. I'd watch the birds. I'd take in nature. And in the evening, we'd all go together to a restaurant with some great pasta, maybe some duck. I like duck. And then we'd dance the rest of the night. I'd dance with all the wonderful dance partners out there until I was exhausted. And then I would go home and have a deep and wonderful sleep." Later, Mitch wrote, "It was so simple, so average. I was actually a little disappointed. I figured he'd fly to Italy or have lunch with the president or try every exotic thing he could think of. How could he find perfection in such an average day?" And then I realized that's the whole point. When will Christ return? When will Christ return? I don't know, and you don't either. But in the meantime, he calls us to prepare. To prepare for his coming by knowing that our decisions matter, by deciding to give ourselves that perfect day from time to time, and above all, by spending our days not in fearful preparation for judgment, but as joyous sacraments of what it means to live. God love you. Amen.